I'm riding with Nocatee Bay resident Mark Figelski in his compact SUV on some of the logging roads that crisscross Prince of Wales Island. He's giving me a tour and foraging for mushrooms.
Here, look at all that bear sand over there. Holy moly, you see it?
We're in the middle of an immense swath of land that was until recently home to trees hundreds of years old. It's an old-growth forest here on Prince of Wales Island that was recently reduced to stumps.
That's the only good thing about these dead and dying trees that has made the population of mushrooms go crazy. I mean, look at that right there.
It's not the only good thing, Figelski tells me. For one thing, without logging, we wouldn't be driving on the road we're currently on. But Figelski explains that the vast scale of these recent cuts just north of his home in Nocatee has him concerned. He tells me he relies on the land to feed his family. Deer, berries, mushrooms, the salmon that reproduce in streams that run through clear-cut, and halibut that often feed near river mouths. The nearest supermarkets are in Klawock and Thorne Bay. They're some 40-odd miles away.
So, the subsistence life is all we have, really. That's why this is really so important.
Since President Joe Biden took office, federal authorities have trumpeted a number of policy changes aimed at preserving old-growth forest, including in the Tongass. Perhaps the initiative with the biggest impact on Southeast Alaska is an effort to reinstate the National Roadless Rule. It limits logging in more than half of the 17 million acres of the Tongass National Forest. Advocates say protections like the Roadless Rule are essential to maintaining both subsistence food sources for people who live in the rainforest and fighting climate change. Scientists say it's among the most carbon-dense forests in the world. Figelski says he was heartened by news of the Biden administration's efforts to restrict logging.
I was so excited when I heard about the Roadless Rule thing, and I thought, oh, for sure now they're going to cut this off.
But logging did not stop. If anything, it accelerated. That's because the Roadless Rule only protects land within the Forest Service's jurisdiction. And the land we're on was transferred from the Forest Service to the Alaska Mental Health Trust as part of a 2017 land swap. The organization has contracted with logging companies to clear-cut much of the land it was granted. And according to satellite data reviewed by Earthrise Media and Grist, some 43% of forest lost in the Tongass region between 2015 and 2020 happened on land that has been transferred out of federal management. The executive director of the Trust Land Office, Jesse Warner, says the organization's goal is to make money from the land to maximize revenue for its programs.
The Trust grants more than $20 million a year to partner organizations that provide services and supports to Alaskans with developmental disabilities and behavioral health conditions.
But Figelski wants people to know that splashy federal policy initiatives often don't tell the whole story.
What a victory everybody was celebrating about the Roadless Rule coming back, but really, it means nothing if there's a back door.
Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski helped engineer the land transfer to the Mental Health Trust by inserting language in a must-pass bill in 2017. She says that while the land is no longer federally protected, there are still standards the loggers must abide by. But those state standards are looser than the federal rules. State fisheries biologist Mark Manillo stands on a bridge overlooking Yaddock Creek near Nocatee. He says smaller stream buffers allowed on state lands can damage the streams that subsistence and commercial fishermen alike rely on for salmon spawning.
Well, you can see this one here with this big exposed root wad. You know you're going to get a lot of erosion off of that. Where the tree was standing, you can see you end up with, if this creek gets higher flows, you're probably going to get some flow through there, and it's going to erode.
The Mental Health Trust's land exchange is the most recent land swap affecting the Tongass, but it's nowhere near the size or scale of the 2014 transfer of 70,000 acres to Sea Alaska. The regional native corporation logged on land across Prince of Wales Island. It was always controversial, but it allowed the group to pay dividends to Alaska Native shareholders. Sea Alaska renounced commercial logging in 2021. It was a blow to the region's timber industry, but that doesn't mean more land transfers aren't being considered. In 2019, Sea Alaska invested at least $500,000 in a campaign that seeks to create five new independent Alaska Native village corporations that would be allowed to select federal lands from the Tongass. The new corporation's shareholders would be descendants of the five village populations originally left out of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Tribal leaders on Prince of Wales Island say they're sympathetic to the landless community's situation, but they're worried that their forest lands will be targeted for their timber. Clinton Cook, president of the Craig Tribal Association, says he supports the landless tribe's efforts to right historical wrongs, but says he's concerned that it could lead to more logging on Prince of Wales Island.
We necessarily think they should probably, hopefully, will look at more areas in their community to be able to obtain that land, not necessarily on Prince of Wales, where there's already a little bit of a head start.
Former Sealaska Board member Patrick Anderson says it's a thorny question without easy answers. That's because land near communities like Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan is already heavily developed, and much of the nearby forest has already been logged.
I think there can be a negotiated end to it, but I believe that the parties need to have the opportunity to sit down and figure out what it is that a majority of the landless communities want.
Anderson says he's hopeful that if the landless communities do acquire old-growth forest lands, they might consider making money by selling carbon credits and keeping the forest intact. With additional reporting by Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick, Ed Boyda of Earthrise Media, and Clayton Aldern of Grist, I'm Eric Stone in Ketchikan.